Welcome to the Sweaty Pillow Podcast, where we dive deep into the heart of menopause. It's not just about hot flashes and night sweats. It's a journey, a transformative phase of life that encompasses so much more. Here in our sanctuary, you'll find more than just another menopause podcast. We're your one-stop destination for support, bringing together doctors, thought leaders, and experts to explore the issues that matter most. So, join us. Embrace the wisdom and let's navigate this menopausal adventure together. Because we see you, we hear you, we are you.
Welcome to the Sweaty Pillow Podcast. I am your host, Lara Smith, co-founder of the Sweaty Pillow and also founder CEO of Lucene, a technical luxury sleepwear brand for hot sleepers. And today we have a really special guest, Dr. Mindy Peltz. Now I'm going to read Dr. Mindy's credentials because they are very impressive and I don't want to get them wrong. So Dr. Mindy is a functional health expert, best-selling author of Eat Like a Girl and Fast Like a Girl, and the newly published Age Like a Girl, host of the Resetter podcast, has her undergraduate degree in exercise physiology, and also a doctor of chiropractic. Welcome, Dr. Mindy. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to get right into it. Just around the biology of women going through menopause transition, and Fast Like a Girl, Eat Like a Girl, and Age Like a Girl form this trilogy of education, resources, and content specifically around how girls and women are different, which we love. And it asks a bigger question. What is it about women's biology as we age? And what should our behavior be to maximize our best version of ourselves and optimum health?
Yeah, that's a really deep question. So let me see if I can answer it through the trilogy. So Fast Like a Girl, I created because I saw there was a different weight loss pattern that women needed to use, specifically when it came to the ketogenic diet and it came to intermittent fasting. So I showed that pattern and how we can map these incredible tools to our menstrual cycle. And if we map them to our menstrual cycle, then you can get all the benefits from those incredible weight loss strategies. And then Eat Like a Girl, I got such a big response from Fast Like a Girl that with Eat Like a Girl, people were like, okay, can you talk a little more about how we should be eating for our menstrual cycle? And so I mapped that all out in there. It's a cookbook and did all that. But Age Like a Girl is actually a really personal book to me because 10 years ago, when I was in clinical practice, my practice was really built off of 40-year-old high achieving women, who had families. And I started to see a pattern as they were going through perimenopause that I didn't see with the women in their 30s. And the pattern looked like this: depression, regardless of what was going on in their life. So I would have these women that would come in to me and they'd be like, oh my God, I live the most amazing life. My husband's amazing. My kids are amazing. And I'm depressed every day. Nothing is bringing me joy. Or even worse, I had women that were coming in and telling me, oh my God, everything on paper in my life is amazing. And I'm actually want to kill myself. I'm having suicidal thoughts. And so this started happening at a very, very busy practice where we saw hundreds of people every week. And I saw this just reoccurring over and over again. So I really wanted to answer what's happening to the female brain as we go through this transition. And what I found was remarkable, and we can dive into whatever aspect of that you want. But I think the most important thing for women to know is that when you lose estrogen, it stimulates a pruning of your brain, and it takes away the neurons that kept you addicted to people pleasing and kept you addicted to everybody else's opinion of you. And you start to make room for new neurons in your brain that help you start making better decisions for yourself. And this is why you see so many women go into their 40s and 50s where they leave marriages, they leave careers, they move, they do drastic behavior, because I think what's happening is women wake up and the parts of the brain that kept us addicted to pleasing and serving and fixing and helping everybody and putting everybody's needs ahead of our own, our brain literally rewires itself so that those neurons go away and you have a fresh palette, you have a fresh canvas where you get to start to make better choices for yourself. So I hear a lot of women say, I want to be more alone more often. I've heard a lot of women say, all of a sudden, my girlfriends became massively important to me. I've seen a lot of women start new careers as they move into those postmenopausal years. So Age Like a Girl became a really important book to show women that there's something magical happening here, as opposed to what we're talking about in the culture right now, which is bitching and moaning about all of the symptoms. And what I want to do is say the symptoms you're having are there's a purpose behind them, and let's talk about that.
So my brain is a little bit blown, because what you're saying is it's not getting to a place of the 40s and this new confidence, aka also a fatigue about waking up in service of everyone else. It's actually biology. It's our brain saying,
yep,
I'm over the people. You got to be kidding me. So
right.
zero fucks trend on TikTok is actually.
It's a biological. Yeah. When that Do Not Care Club thing came out, I had just turned in the manuscript for Age Like a Girl. And I was like, oh my God, I can through the lens of neuroscience and evolutionary biology. And I looked at a feminist psychologist. I looked at a mystic. I tried to look at it from as many angles. I can prove why this woman doesn't care. I can prove why what women are saying, I don't give any fucks anymore. What I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to do with Age Like a Girl, is help women, like, unleash women. Like, you have given yourself to a culture that has asked you to participate in it in a very specific way. Be nice, be selfless, be pretty, be helpful. And all of those neurons that kept you addicted to your worth coming from other people, those are going to go away, and you get a new brain that you get to decide how you're going to build it. So who you hang around, who you listen to, what you read, how you live your life, like, think of it like a blank canvas. You get to create it however you want to create it. That's the rewiring and the magical piece going on here.
Okay, I'm really connecting with all of this, but also when you opened this segment, you talked about the women that you saw every day and the hundreds of them that reported depression and suicidal thoughts. And I refer back to my own journey through perimenopause, and it coincided with a horrible time with the death of my father and a divorce. But my family physician just put me on antidepressants.
Exactly.
Which is a common thing. And we've had a lot of doctors on the show that talk about the misdiagnosis of what's happening with our hormones. So what is the fix? That it's obviously not antidepressants, because that coincided with all my sex hormones plummeting, which didn't help.
Well, first I want to say I'm sorry, because there are so much gaslighting of women going on in the doctor's office, and it's horrific. And it needs to change. So I always tell if the women that are listening, your doctor works for you, and you have a right to feel safe and heard in your doctor's office. So, you know, continue to stand up for yourself. And an antidepressant is not the solution. So I just want to comment on that. And hormone replacement isn't the solution. There's something deeper going on here. So the first thing I want to address are some of the symptoms, and we can talk about how we read these symptoms. So depression is a very, very common symptom that shows up through the perimenopausal journey. Estrogen had a whole set of neurochemicals that she stimulated every month. I call them in the book, the girl gang, estrogen's girl gang. And dopamine and serotonin were two of her favorite friends. So whenever you had estrogen, you had dopamine, which is motivation, keeps you happy and excited. And serotonin keeps you happy and content. Like they're a very interesting combo of neurotransmitters. And they start to go away when you go through perimenopause. So you have to use your lifestyle to start to coerce them back. And that was the part two of Age Like a Girl, was that I really wanted women to understand that it's simple. It's simple. And here's what I want to say is they've complicated women's health so that we don't understand it. So we are left out of our own healing. And this has continued on in the biohacking space. This has continued on in the longevity space. It's not hard. Women's health is not hard, but you're going to have to unhook yourself from looking for the shiny new object and start to realize that at the daily activities you do over and over and over again will build your neurochemical system. So let's use dopamine as an example. Dopamine has one love, and that is novelty. Anytime you do something that is novel, you're going to get a dopamine hit. So if you're walking around feeling depressed through this whole thing, and yes, depression can be real. I think a lot of times depression shows up for women during this phase because we're depressed at the life we've created when we realize it wasn't the one we wanted to live. And so it's hard when you see that. In my late 40s, I'm 56 now. I really hit a point where I realized I didn't want to be in practice anymore. And I had many doctors working for me. I had a vibrant team. At the high point of my practice, we were seeing 500 people a week. I had an integrative health center that was just, you know, bustling. And I didn't want to be there anymore. I didn't want to do it anymore. And it took me a while to figure out how and what I was going to do. But those kind of things are happening to women. So when the depression shows up, the first thing is to go into an inquiry and ask yourself, like, what part of my life doesn't fit anymore? Like you discovered a marriage didn't fit. So that's okay. We can, you know, decide to leave things that weren't working for us. But then we need to embrace something new. We need to get into novelty. So like a friend of mine decided she was going to learn to fly fish, and she's 58 years old. And she called me on her way to Tahoe one day, and she's like, I just hired a fly fishing guide and I'm going fly fishing. And I'm like, what? You're doing what? And literally she called me, she went for 2 days. At the end of the first day, she was giddy. She was so excited. She was like, it was so new and different. I moved away from my family home and came to a new place. I have new friends. I have new patterns. I started to learn to surf. So I'm in the ocean every day. And that newness gave me a dopamine hit. So I think, and the book is chock full of ideas like this, but I think for the sake of this conversation is we have to start looking at things like depression, not necessarily as a symptom to treat with medication, but an indication that something in your life is no longer a fit and you need to change it.
Just a quick break. I'm Lara Smith, and I am the host of The Sweaty Pillow, but also the founder of Lucine, a 12-year-old sleep tech brand rooted in science. As we wake up in service of women every day to make their life better, to help them get a better night's sleep, and we heard from thousands of women year after year that they weren't getting the support from their general practitioners, from the medical community, and we needed a place that could provide education, resources, and support. Sleep is such an integral part of the menopause journey, and we hear from women in our community, and we hear from our customers all the time that they struggle night after night with not getting a good night's sleep. So if that's something that you're struggling with, please check out lucime.com, because our luxury pajamas and our temperature regulating sheets have been proven in independent lab testings and now Harvard Medical School to deliver a better quality and quantity of sleep for people that are struggling with night sweats. Check out the link in the show notes. So circling back to two examples you mentioned, or themes of women that were in your practice about on paper, or they realized objectively and mentally, my life is great. I have a great husband, kids, career, whatever, but they were depressed. So in those examples, it may not necessarily that a wholesale change is required, but that's very much biological.
Yeah. So in the book, I quote something called the grandmother hypothesis, and it's the evolutionary explanation of menopause. And the synthesis of it is that when women moved into their postmenopausal years, the clan moved them into a different place of power. They actually were in one of the most powerful places, which is, hold that thought, because this is not what we do for postmenopausal women. We don't move them into a place of power. We do the opposite. We move them into invisibility. So in the grandmother hypothesis, it was the grandmothers that would go and forage for food every day while the men were off trying to make a big animal kill. And now you have to remember, food was the number one objective in that day of in age, because they needed it to stay alive. And so the men would go off and go hunting, and 3% of the time, 3% of the time they came back with food. That's one day out of 30. And back home around the clan in the tribe, was the pregnant women, the babies, the little children. And so somebody had to feed them. And so it was the grandmothers that gathered. That's also important. They came together and they went out and they foraged for food. They found tubers and berries, and they brought this food back to the moms and the children. And the belief is that if it wasn't for the grandmothers as a species, we wouldn't have continued past the hunter-gatherer days, that they were actual heroines, evolutionary heroines. And when I found that research, I actually ended up interviewing Kristen Hawkes, who is the anthropologist that is championing the grandmother hypothesis. She's lived with a tribe in Tanzania that still practices it today. And when you look at the structure of that, it is the postmenopausal women that are the leaders. They're the ones that take care of the clan. They're the leaders. They gather together. But in the Western world, we have women that are so scared of aging that we're freezing our faces and dyeing our hair, because God forbid you should see that we're old because we're so afraid of being invisible. So one of the things I really wanted to bring out is this transformation is happening so you can stand in a position of leadership. And if you understand this, if all the menopausal women understand this, then we will never fear invisibility again. But it's going to take all of us standing in a place of power, all of us taking control over our own health, all of us speaking about grievances we're seeing in the world, it's our turn now. And that's really a big piece I was trying to bring forward, is this is a rewiring that was building you towards a place in societal leadership.
So I love that. Age like a girl, you talk a lot about this neurological reset. So while we're still talking about brain health, biology, and depression, and this is something that plagues me 82 times a day, is brain fog. So I would love your perspective on, and connecting back to the depression piece, because very much what I'm getting from your message is lifestyle changes, dopamine, new patterns, new things to get excited about. But what can we do physically, or what are the fixes around brain fog and depression if we actually do love our life, and if we're not in a position yet to go and take a year sabbatical and travel around to the beaches of the planet? Like what are some other fixes we could consider?
Yeah. So in the book, I have a whole chart of, like, if you have this symptom, here's the neurochemical response, and then here's the list of things you can do. So for people who are listening, they're like, well, what about this? And what about that? Like, it's all in there. But brain fog's a really important one, because there's one hero that will end brain fog with immediately. And it's called the ketone. It's called the ketone. So I brought this forward in Fast Like a Girl, that we have two ways that our body and brain gets energy. One is from the food we eat, and the other is from the fat we burn. Now, sit with me here for a moment, because when you go about eight hours without eating anything, your body starts to metabolically switch. And it will move from the sugar burner energy metabolism to the fat burner energy metabolism. So at 8 hours, our brilliant body goes, you know what? We don't have any glucose coming in. I think I stored some glucose, and I stored it around the belly, the booty, the places that we all hate. I'm going to burn that and make a fuel source that will supercharge the brain right now, so that the brain is alert. It has motivation and is ready to go find food. And that burning of fat produces something called a ketone. One of the things we know about menopause is that we lose parts of our white matter in our brain. And what our brain, and that's the brain fog, yeah. And yeah. What our brain does, this is why the body leaves clues for us. It always leaves clues. So we just have to learn how to read those clues. And one of the things that happens is in the brain fog period is you are losing white matter, but your body's so intelligent that the byproduct of the breakdown of white matter is a ketone. The brain tries to make its own fuel source to help the transition. But if you have a high hemoglobin A1C, which is an indicator of glucose and insulin, if you've been eating the standard American diet packed with ultra-processed foods, your glucose will be so much higher than the ketones that your brain is producing that you may struggle worse with brain fog. What we've seen in our community, and I've watched millions of women learn to fast, is that if you teach a menopausal woman how to do as little as a 13 to 15 hour fast every single day, and you teach her how to make her own ketones through intermittent fasting, the brain fog ends. Mm-hmm. And I'm not joking. I'm not being clickbaity. I'm not being Pollyanna-ish. One of the biggest things I wanted to do with this book was to explain how ketones work, because the ketogenic diet has been given a bad rap. Fasting for women has been given a bad rap. But our bodies are hardwired to fast more as we start to age. And, you know, in the book, I break down, like, what is a ketone? What are all the things we need to know about ketones? It's a part of the conversation, the menopause conversation, that is not being had right now.
I love this. It's a great segue into what I wanted to get in with you, which is around our metabolism and how suddenly 30 pounds appears in the worst possible distribution of our body as we're going through menopause. And the idea of fasting, you know, we've been serving this woman for 12 plus years, as I said, and when we always ask our community, what do they want to learn the most about? It's usually either sleep or what the hell's going on with the 30 pounds, right? So I'm really wanting to get in. This is one of your areas of specialty. But when I think about fasting and some of the research we've done and the other doctors that we've seen on the show, I think about fasting as my 25-year-old son thinks about it. And he's like, Mom, if I don't eat until 2 in the afternoon, after like not eating all night, all day, I am so dialed in. And he's a big time finance guy. Like, I make my best decisions fasting. Then I think about our community and I read, well, hold on. There's a stress response that can be triggered for women who are missing these hormones. And you have to be careful about the spike of cortisol if you're fasting. So tell us about your perspective and research on this.
Yeah, that was really, you queued that up really nicely. And because that is the juxtaposition that we're dealing with. So the first principle to understand is, as estrogen goes down, you become more insulin resistant. So the diet you ate at 35 and got away with and were able to stay thin with may not work for you at 45, because as estrogen started to decline, estrogen kept you insulin sensitive. So there has then if we look at it through that lens, what are our tools? So it's normal to gain weight through menopause because you become more insulin resistant. So what are our tools? We have weight loss drugs. They're expensive. When you get off of them, all the weight change, it comes back. Like, they're not a long-term solution. Okay. We have HRT. HRT is doing some really cool stuff, and we're bringing it back into the conversation. I think that's great, but HRT mixed with a really bad diet is not the solution. You're not going to lose weight just by putting a patch on you. So there's that. Let's exercise more. Let's diet more. This is what women are doing. Talk about raising cortisol. This was the women in my practice. They were so athletic. I mean, these women were like freaking rock stars. They were beautiful. They were fit. They were super moms. They had careers. Like, they were like, and they were like falling apart because their old tools weren't working. So they would come in with all these injuries because they wanted to lose more weight. So they just doubled down on more exercise and more dieting. That's cortisol raising. Okay, so what do we have left? Well, we have fasting. And when you learn to cycle fasting, this is so important. When you learn to cycle fasting, you will not tank your sex hormones. And the thing that tanks your sex hormones more than anything else is mismanaged insulin. So we have to remember that the most important thing to keep estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone in good shape is your metabolic health. So fasting becomes this pivotal tool. Now, the cortisol question. If you go into, like, let me explain what I've seen gone wrong with fasting and menopause through my community. A woman at 47 realizes intermittent fasting. She starts to do 15-hour fasts. She drops weight quick. This is common. Go to my YouTube channel. We're actually tallying now how much weight women have lost so that we can start to see the massive amount. And so she's all excited and she's like, oh my God, I found this thing called intermittent fasting. And now I'm just eating two meals a day and I'm losing weight. And then you follow this woman along and all of a sudden you see her say 2 months later, oh my God, I was losing so much weight. I decided to only eat one meal a day. It got so easy because fasting gets easier the more you do it. And I'm just eating one meal a day, but I'm worried because my hair is falling out. I'm not sleeping. And what she did is she took an old mindset to a new tool, to an ancient tool, I should say, which is, if a little bit is good, I should probably do more. This is not this moment in a woman's life. If a little bit is good, I should do more of anything will make your menopausal journey much more turbulent. So we have to teach women how to cycle fasting so that you don't get the chronic cortisol surge. And let me give you a checklist for that. My favorite version is a weekly fast called 5-1-1. Where 5 days a week, a woman does a comfortable fast. If you're doing 13 hours, 15 hours making ketones, and it's easy, you're not spiking cortisol. So 1 day a week, do your easy fast. Now, for your listeners who maybe haven't fasted, that might be 9 hours. That's fine. Let's just play with this and get used to this tool. If you wanted to run a marathon, I wouldn't put some sneakers on you and take you out 15 miles right out of the gate. So it's the same thing. We got to train our body. So start in it with, okay, 5 days a week, I'm doing a comfortable fast. I'm making some ketones. I'm dropping weight. I'm becoming metabolically flexible. One day a week, you stretch your fast and you make yourself uncomfortable. So maybe you go to 20, you only eat one meal that day. Maybe, you know, you were at 15 hours comfortable. So maybe you stretch it to 17 hours. you're going to raise cortisol on that day, but it's one day, and one day is not going to tank your sex hormones. What's raising cortisol more is you going to social media and you going to the news. You're getting massive amounts of cortisol all day long. So one day of doing something really good for your metabolic health is not going to tank your sex hormones. And then one day a week, you eat. And you don't fast. Now you're mimicking a little bit more of what our hunter and gatherer friends did. They didn't have access to food all the time, but then once a big kill came in, they had a lot of food and they would feast. And then they would stop feasting when the animal kill was over, and then out the men went to go get another animal kill, but they weren't coming back for another 30 days. So the grandmothers went out and got tubers and berries and brought it back. This is what we can mimic. The problem with the brain fog is that what we're doing is we're eating 8, 9, 10, 15 times a day, putting stuff in our mouth, and we're never tapping into this fat burning system, which is clinically called, or through a chemistry name, is the ketogenic energy system. It's a whole system in the body that's not even being accessed. The body doesn't do anything by mistake. And so it has this system, if we tap into it in a cyclical manner, like our hunter and gatherer primal friends did, now we're not tanking our hormones.
So I love how you deconstructed this, and it's very doable. And it's like a 7-day cycle, right? Would you recommend just 5-1-1? So mm-hmm. on the 5 days, when you start introducing this slowly and you get to a rhythm that's comfortable, do you like 12 to 15 hours? Is it like 8 p.m. stop, 10 or 11 a.m. break your fast? What's ideal?
Yeah. Yeah. This is actually a really new part of this conversation that I have been trying to bring forward. You get to choose what meal you're pushing back or pushing up. So some people like breakfast. Some people do really well with breakfast. Some health experts think breakfast is really important for women. That's fine. So then maybe you bring your dinner down a little bit earlier. So maybe you stop eating dinner at 5 or 6 o'clock. Don't put anything else in your mouth. And then you eat at 6 or 7 the next morning and you've gone 12, 13 hours. I'm one of those people, I don't love breakfast. I don't wake up hungry. And so I'm done eating usually around 8 o'clock at night. And so yes, in the next day, I won't typically eat. Like I just have my first meal now, which is around 11 in the morning. I think that somewhere between 12 to 15 hours is great. One of the greatest fasting studies that I've ever seen was done on women who had breast cancer and had gone through traditional breast cancer treatment. And they found that if these women did just as simple as a 13-hour fast after they came out of radiation and chemo, and they just started to every day do 13-hour fasts, they had a 64% less reoccurrence of breast cancer.
Stop. I just fell off my chair. I am going to circle back to get that research from you, because a lot of women in our community are wrestling with that. So that is unbelievable. So I'm sold now. I just want to ask one other kind of technical detail about this. Do you ever overlay the type of sleeper you are? Meaning, I've got my best friend here sitting across the table at work here. She wakes up at 4 a.m. And so she is like, her best self is like 4 a.m. to 11. Mm-hmm. Versus me, if you try and ask me to be part of the 5 a.m. club, I'm going to flush my head down the toilet. So how do you think about how we sleep differently on how we might overlay this fasting philosophy?
Yeah, well, this is why my big message is to personalize it. I watch the critics of fasting out there, and all I do is say, yep, that's why you personalize it. Yep, that's why you personalize it. I'm so tired of the absolutes that people are like, oh, fasting's bad for menopausal women. It's bad when you don't personalize it. So your example was perfect. you have a circadian rhythm that slants more towards the end of the day, and your friend has one that slants more towards the morning. Your friend and I should hang out because I'm a 4 a.m. gal as well.
Leave me out of it.
I'm like, don't give me, I'm like useless at 5 o'clock at night. Like I'm my best in the morning. So, you customize it. So you might do really well with skipping breakfast. Like where your friend is going to want to probably cut off dinner a little bit earlier.
Amazing. You know, I came into this after doing a lot of research, expecting to butt heads with you on this fasting idea, and now I'm bought in and I'm starting tomorrow. You're very yeah. And Lisa, your 4 a.m. new best friend, is bought in, so we will be keeping you posted on how this goes. Mostly for me, it's the brain health, and you've just convinced me on the power of ketones to our brain health. Extra 5 pounds goes away. I will be giving you an extra long distance hug for that. But I am you're so compelling, Dr. Mindy. Couple of closing questions. What do you want every woman over 40 to understand about her body?
Oh, how wickedly powerful she is. Like if you understood the female body, especially over 40, the way I understand it, you would never doubt yourself again. And this is part of the why I think we get gaslit in the doctor's office. And I think this is why, you know, we try to pull women's health education away from women, because if women understood how sophisticated our bodies were, how well designed our bodies and brains were, holy moly, you would be totally in awe of yourself, and you would never let a doctor, a teacher, a husband, anybody ridicule you again. And you wouldn't even ridicule yourself. Like fat, for example, fat is just your body trying to find a way to store what it doesn't know how to use. But once you understand how your body works, you can line your lifestyle easily, effortlessly. I am not joking. Up with the feminine design, and then you feel powerful. I think it was interesting what you said your son said. The first time I found fasting, I was like, this is like that movie that with Bradley Cooper, the Limitless movie, where he took a pill and all of a sudden he's speaking 5 languages and predicting the stock market. That's how I feel on ketones, as do a lot of women. So we have been kept in the dark on our bodies, because it profits a healthcare system that is driven by big pharma. And I'm sorry, I'm especially wound up right now about this, because we keep trying to pull women's power away. And you have to understand, if they're trying to pull our power away, it's because we're powerful.
Yeah, that tracks completely. If you could give one sentence of advice to your 45-year-old self, what would it be?
It would be stop stressing. It's all going to work out.
Amen.
It's all going to work out. Just let go. Life is going to guide you in a way that you can't even use your educated brain to guide yourself. So just let go, stay committed to your authenticity, and life will point you in the right direction.
Okay. So I'm ending on that question because I got butterflies, chills, and a little bit teary. So that's absolutely the message, that you keep doing this unbelievable work of spreading this message and the education, science, and insight, because you're changing lives. And it's such a delight to meet and speak with you today. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate this conversation. And, you know, just to all the listeners, like, don't give up on yourself. Please don't give up on yourself. Just be curious. Start being curious. Stop being blaming yourself or shaming yourself. We've been taught to do that. Start to change your brain into a curious brain, and you'll fall in love with your body. I promise you.
Can't wait. Okay. We're starting fasting tomorrow, Lise. that was awesome.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Sweaty Pillow Podcast. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. We're here for you every step of the way. Together, we'll continue to learn, grow, and thrive through menopause and beyond. Be sure to subscribe for more empowering conversations and practical insights. Until next time, take care, stay strong, and keep embracing the wisdom of this menopausal adventure.